and it had become one of the obvious points in the Confederacy that the Northern people wanted to check off their list of things that they'd accomplished. Most of the other ports were gone. They wanted Mobile Bay. The problem was that the inner bay was defended by a powerful group of forts. The most important of those was Fort Morgan, which was on the east side of the entrance to the bay. Fort Morgan was so strong that it had kept the blockading vessels away from the entrance to the bay, and it had also covered blockade runners moving in and out of the bay. West of Fort Morgan was Fort Gaines, across the main channel that led into Mobile Bay, and farther west yet was Fort Powell, which covered another channel that led into the bay. These forts, formidable. There also were torpedoes or mines that the Confederates had placed in the channel, and also a little gunboat fleet, and one powerful ironclad on the Confederate side inside the bay, and that was the Tennessee, the powerful ironclad Tennessee. So Mobile Bay was a very imposing target. In early August, Farragut put together a fleet, 14 wooden ships, four monitors, ironclad monitors, and on August 5th, he attacked. I mentioned before that the Union vessels moved single file to run past Fort Morgan. The leading Northern ironclad, which was the Tecumseh, was sunk by the heavy fire from the fort, but more specifically by a mine that it hit. It was taking heavy fire from the fort. It hit a mine and it went down. The whole line stopped. The whole line of Union vessels stopped. Farragut was furious. He wanted to know what was going on. Word came back that there were mines ahead, that the mines and the guns from the fort seemed capable of frustrating the Union effort. Farragut pulled his flagship out of line, which was a wooden vessel. The Hartford pulled it to the front of the line, and off they went. I gave you his famous quotation before. When someone said that they had better look out for mines, he said, or torpedoes, they would have said, he said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And off the Hartford went. The other vessels followed, and they got past the forts and into the bay. Once they got into the bay, the Tennessee came out to attack them. It ended up being the Tennessee against 17 Union vessels. All the Union vessels got in, except the Tecumseh, of course, which had been sunk. And they just sort of made a ring around the Tennessee and pounded it into submission. They rammed it a number of times. They raked it with broadsides, inflicted a number of casualties, including Admiral Franklin Buchanan, who was its skipper, and the Tennessee had to capitulate. The other little gunboats were no match at all for the Union power. By that evening on August 5th, the Federals controlled the bay. Now, it would take 18 more days before they subdued the forts. It would be August 23rd before the forts had capitulated, but by that time in August, Mobile Bay was completely gone to the Confederates. The city didn't fall. It wouldn't fall until very late in the war, but it didn't matter. It was no longer of any use to the Confederacy as a port. Now, this was a major psychological boost to the Northern people to close Mobile Bay, but it was not nearly enough. This victory was not the kind of victory necessary to turn the tide as far as Northern morale was concerned. In fact, long after Farragut's success on August 5th, the day, in fact, that all the forts fell, August 23rd, is the time that Abraham Lincoln wrote the famous blind memorandum that I mentioned before. I'll quote the whole thing here. He wrote, "Did Lincoln this morning, as for some days past, it seems exceedingly probable that this administration will not be reelected. Then it will be my duty to so cooperate with the president-elect as to save the Union between the election and the inauguration, as he will have secured his election on such grounds that he cannot possibly save it afterwards." So Lincoln is in a very gloomy mood in late August, despite the capture of Mobile Bay at the beginning of the month. What is going to turn that around is events at Atlanta. And let's move to Atlanta right now. When John Bell Hood took over command of the Army of Tennessee, he understood what Jefferson Davis and the Confederate people expected from him. They expected offensive action that would somehow reverse the trend of the campaign from Chattanooga to Atlanta. It had always been Sherman moving closer, 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 until finally the Confederates were behind the Chattahoochee River and essentially in Atlanta. The Confederate people and the Confederate government wanted that reversed.